During my senior year of high school, I was the editor of our school paper. Some of you don't know this about me, but before I sensed the Lord calling me into a preaching ministry, I was planning to become a journalist, and that was the direction my life was headed. And when I was in high school, I was involved in the school paper, and my senior year was the editor. Now, I went to a Christian school. It was pretty strict by our standards anyway. We had uniforms, which I know are becoming more and more common, even public schools, but back then they weren't. We were not allowed to wear blue jeans to any school event. They, for some reason, thought blue jeans were evil. And guys had to have the hair off the ears and off the collar, and we were pretty strict. Well, I wanted to have a section in each of our newspapers that highlighted contemporary Christian music of the day that was coming out. I really didn't think that the administration would go for it, but they did. And so I was able to write a review of Christian albums that were coming out that was appealing to our age group. And I called that section Spirit-Filled Music, utilizing the initials of my name. Pretty slick, huh? Now, that might have been creative, but if you had stopped me as a senior in high school and said, "What do you mean by spirit-filled music?" I'm not sure I would have had a very good answer. You know, the phrase spirit-filled, it was common enough back then and still is to a degree today. But the meaning of the phrase isn't quite as well known. What does it mean to be spirit-filled? What does it mean when the Bible says be filled with the Spirit? And so as we continue our study on the person and work of the Holy Spirit, I want to focus on that phrase. Be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean? How is it something we can use in our Christian lives today? And our text this morning, while I had Richard read the context, we're really zeroing in on Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Now, I like how the New Living Translation puts it. Don't get drunk on wine, that'll ruin your life. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to begin with the mandate to be filled with the Spirit. Usually in a message like this, I would first address the question, what is it, before I get to why is it important. But I want to impress upon us the importance of this phrase, because as we will see, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a matter every Christian needs to know and put into practice. While it is true that to be filled with God's Holy Spirit is every believer's privilege, when Paul writes that phrase in Ephesians 5, he puts it in a Greek tense that makes it a command. It is something we must do. It's not something that is optional. It is something we are commanded to do. And the responsibility now lays upon us. It's something we must do. John Stott writes, "Be filled is not a tentative suggestion, a mild recommendation, a polite piece of advice. It is a command which comes to us from Christ with all the authority of one of his apostles. We have no more liberty to escape this duty than we have the ethical duties which surround the text, such as speaking the truth, doing honest work, to be kind and forgiving to one another, to live lives of purity and love. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is not optional for the Christian. It is obligatory. It is something we must do." Now, it's fascinating. As you go through the Scriptures, you will never see a command to be baptized in the Spirit. You will never see a command, be indwelt by the Spirit, or be gifted, or be sealed. These are all things that God does to us. We are baptized in the Spirit, as we saw last week, by Jesus. He baptizes us in the Spirit. The Spirit seals us. The Spirit produces fruit, which we're going to look at in later sermons. The Spirit gives us gifts, but this is the one phrase regarding the Holy Spirit and the life of the Christian that we are to obey. It's something we are to do. Furthermore, the command is plural. It applies to all Christians, not just a few. He's not only speaking to the elders. He's not just speaking to the preachers or to the missionaries or to the super saints, of which there are none. This is for everybody. It's not a privilege reserved for some. It's a duty resting upon everyone. And it's just like the command to sobriety and self-control. This command to be filled with the Spirit is addressed without exception to all the people of God. So everybody here who claims the name of Christ, if you are a Christian, this verse is for you. And it's something that God expects every one of us to do. It's also in the present imperative. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I don't expect you to be either. But the way Paul writes this in the original language, it's an ongoing event. All right? Today we celebrated Irene's baptism, and it happened on a certain date in the past, and we can look back on that and say, that was done. That's a past event. This is not like that at all. This is not something that we can write down a date and say, I was filled with the Spirit on such and such a date, and now I'm done. This is an ongoing process. Continually be filled with the Spirit. It's not something we can do once and it lasts the rest of our lives. It's an ongoing process. Be progressively filled with the Spirit of Christ. And then fourthly, the Greek verb is in a passive voice. Now this is going to sound a little confusing, but stay with me. Paul does not say, fill yourself with the Spirit. So while this is a command we must obey, it is still something the Spirit does. So you say, what's the command? What do we do? What is it we are expected to do? It is a matter of yielding ourselves to the Spirit. It is allowing. So while it is a command we must obey, it is, if I can say it, a passive action. It is something we are allowing to happen to us. So I'm not suggesting that it is something we work at, but it is something we must allow or it won't happen. We can keep the Spirit from filling us. You say, what does that mean? I'm going to get to that in a moment. But just understand, it's something that we must allow to happen in our lives. And it is something that God does in us and through us. And before I move on to what this phrase means, I just want to reemphasize the point that what we're talking about here is for every Christian. I know that some churches and some preachers promote this idea that you've got Christians and then you've got Spirit-filled Christians, and they're just up here a cut above. And it is simply not true. And there is no one experience, there's no phenomenal manifestation that, oh, this person spoke in tongues or this person did something miraculous and they're filled with the Spirit. That has nothing to do with it whatsoever. This is something for every believer, and it is an ongoing experience. It's an ongoing process. It's not something that's done once and done once for all. It's something that is continuous. And it is to be the normal experience of the Christian. We sometimes tend to think of being Spirit-filled as something exceptional. It's something phenomenal. We go to a revival meeting or we go to a special conference and oh, the music is great and the speakers are powerful and I felt so energized and I'm filled with the Spirit. And then I come home Monday and it's just all, you know, back to the same old, same old. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the normal experience. This is what Christian life should be like. Every day. All the time. Growing and continuing. Not just something that we look back at years later and say, wow, that was a great experience. The Spirit-filled life should be the normal Christian experience, not something exotic or rare. Ruth Paxson was a speaker back in the 1930s. And she was addressing a group, and she told this group she was addressing, my friends, to be filled with the Spirit is God's standard for every Christian here this afternoon. The only normal Christians are those who are filled with the Spirit. And I know that that goes against what we're normally told. You know, the Spirit-filled, those are the exceptions. No, it's to be the rule. Now, I'm not saying that it is. I'm saying it ought to be. And it is intended to be. Every one of us here today ought to live Spirit-filled lives. And not just once in a while, but every day, every week. And it's something that grows and grows and grows. So what's the problem? Going back to John Stott. By the way, if you ever find a little paperback book, it's called The Baptism and Fullness of the Spirit, written by Stott. It's the best book ever on the Holy Spirit. A little tiny paperback. It's great. And in that he writes, "It is possible, and all too pitifully common, for Christians who have been baptized with the Spirit to cease to be filled with the Spirit. The Corinthian Christians are a solemn warning to us on that score. It is plain from Paul's first letter to them that they had been baptized, all of them, with the Holy Spirit. We looked at 1 Corinthians 12:13. We have all been baptized into one Spirit. They had been enriched with the spiritual gifts." Paul talks to the Corinthians about spiritual gifts more than any other church. "Yet he rebukes them as unspiritual people." I know we often use that word carnal, comes out of the King James Version. Unspiritual. They were not Spirit-filled. He makes it clear that the evidence of the Spirit's fullness is not the exercise of the gifts, but the ripening of the fruit. And it's the fruit of the Spirit that was missing in those Corinthian believers. You see, the baptism of the Spirit, as we saw last Sunday, is automatic. Every person that comes to Christ is baptized in the Spirit at that moment. And it's something God does to them. But the filling of the Spirit is not automatic. It's a command that must be obeyed. And failure to be filled with the Spirit is sin. And it results in a failure to live a life honoring to God. And if you remember one thing out of this message today, it's that. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you are living in sin. Period. It's not something that's, well, if I get around to it, maybe I'll advance to being filled with the Spirit. No, it's a command for every one of us every day. So now that we've established the importance, now let's talk about what it is. What do we mean when we talk about being filled with the Spirit? And unfortunately, that word filled often brings to mind concepts that the Apostle Paul never meant. It has nothing to do with contents or quantity. If I had a glass up here with liquid in it, and someone would say that glass is half full, and someone would say that glass is half empty, right? And that has nothing to do with being filled with the Spirit. We can't say, well, you know what? I'm about one-fourth filled with the Spirit today. Yeah, I need to go to church and get recharged so I can get it back. Someday, oh, man, I feel pretty good. I'm about three-fourths filled with the Spirit. That's not what we're talking about. Paul is not talking about quantity. He's not talking about being filled up. In the Bible, filled means controlled by. What you are filled with is what influences, dominates, and directs your life. Here's some examples outside of being filled with the Spirit. People are talked about in the Bible as being filled with wrath. Now, does that mean that they were up to here with anger? No. It means that anger controlled them. Anger directed them. Anger influenced them into what they did. The Jews were filled with envy, we're told in Acts 13. They were controlled with envy, and it drove them to oppose Paul and Barnabas. It can also mean the dominating or defining characteristic of a person. There's another man in the book of Acts who's described as full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. That was his defining characteristic. It's the one thing about the person that would stand out. So let's go back to our text, Ephesians 5:18. I want you to notice how Paul makes a contrast here. He says, "Don't get drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit." And those two phrases are connected. And in neither case is the apostle suggesting that a person is literally filled up with the substance. Right? You don't have to have 100% blood alcohol level in order to be drunk. In fact, if you had 100% blood alcohol level, you would be dead. It's only 0.08, that's less than 10% of the blood content needs to be alcohol in order for a person to be legally drunk. So we're not talking about how much alcohol is in your body. It's how much is the alcohol controlling your body. How much is it influencing your body? And that's the whole point of drunkenness and why it's a sin. Because that alcohol controls. You say things and you do things that you would not do if you were sober. I remember someone saying, they were explaining why they like to go to parties where there was alcohol. And they said, because I don't like those people when they're sober. What does that tell you about them? See, that alcohol can get in and it can control and it can influence and it can dominate you. That's what Paul's talking about here. Don't let alcohol control you. You say, well, I don't have a problem with alcohol. I don't like the stuff. You can substitute anything else in there you want. You know, as Americans, we're addicted to everything, right? You know, there's Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's great. And they do good. They do good for a lot of people. I'm not putting it down. But then it expands, and you've got everything anonymous now, right? Anything you can imagine, because you know what Jesus says? Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. We're all addicts to something. And it's only Jesus Christ who can break those chains and free us from the control of sin. But when he frees us from the control of sin, we're not free to do whatever we want. We are free to live for God. And for that to happen, we must be controlled by, influenced by, dominated by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what it means to be Spirit-filled. To be controlled. To be led. To be influenced. So to be filled with the Spirit means to be constantly, day by day, controlled by the Holy Spirit in our mind, in our emotions, and maybe most importantly, in our will. That's the decision maker. That's when we're confronted with a choice. Do I do this? Do I do that? It's the will who makes the decision, and your body does it. And the Spirit must control that. And I think it's also interesting that verse says, be not drunk with wine, which can ruin your life. It leads to debauchery, some versions use. If I was translating, I'd say it leads to stupidity. You ever notice how many stupid things people do under the influence of alcohol? I mean, really, really stupid things. And yet, in the same context, Paul says, you need to be wise. Don't live foolishly. Don't throw your life away. Live as people who are wise. And what's the ultimate wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to live a wise life? You want to not throw your life away? Yield to the Spirit's control. Let the Holy Spirit live in you and guide you and direct you and empower you. You will live a wise life. You will have much fewer regrets later on. You look back over your life and you say, oh, what was I thinking? Why did I do that? What possessed me? Well, I'll tell you what didn't possess you at that point. It was the Holy Spirit of God. Because if he was in control, you wouldn't be regretting it. You want to live a life that 20 years from now and 40 years from now and 80 years from now, you're not going to be ashamed of? Let God's Spirit lead you, guide you, direct you, and empower you. I like the way Warren Wiersbe puts it. The baptism of the Spirit means that I belong to Christ's body. The filling of the Spirit means that my body belongs to Christ. Day by day, I'm living for Him. I'm letting the Spirit of God take control. And the question is not how much of the Holy Spirit do I have. The question is, how much does the Holy Spirit have of me? And that's a question we need to ask ourselves every single day. And we can start in the morning and say, Lord, this is the beginning of a new day, new opportunities. I am yours. I want you to lead me, you to guide me, you to direct me, you to empower me? How much of does the Holy Spirit have of me? And then finally, what are the manifestations of being filled with the Spirit? How can I tell if I or somebody else is living a Spirit-filled life? Some churches suggest that it's something phenomenal and miraculous. They speak in tongues, or they perform some miracle or whatever. That's not scriptural. The chief evidence of being filled with the Spirit is not miraculous, it's moral. You can tell by the choices they make and the way they live their lives. It's not in the gifts of the Spirit, which we'll get to later, but it is in the fruit of the Spirit, which we start on next week. It's about who we are, not so much what we do. And the more that I study, and the more we're getting into some of these studies in our Sunday school class, we're going through Romans and other passages. What does it mean to be part of the people of God? And Sunday evenings, we're starting this series in Galatians, which is all about living in the Spirit. And of course, this series is going through the Holy Spirit. The more it's impressed upon me that our life is not so much about what we do, it's about who we are. That's what separates Christianity from religion. And it was the legalists who would come in and say, you better stick to our rules. We got a list here. Do this, do this. Don't do that. You follow this and you're okay. There are a lot of churches today that still operate that way. That is not what the Christian life is about. The Christian life is what's on the inside. Now, what's on the inside will come out. And it will be expressed in who we are and what we do. But we can't work our way into being a Christian. And we don't work our way to staying a Christian. The Christian life is about what God does for us. And I know we've got a good handle on that when it comes to salvation. I know I can't save myself. Jesus died on the cross. His blood paid the price. That's how I'm saved. But I'm afraid that too many preachers and too many churches have convinced the folks in the pews who have taken that step, okay, Jesus has saved you, but if you want to stay saved, you better work at it. Folks, that's legalism. And it's wrong. It is not about what you do and don't do. It's about who you are and who you're becoming. And you say, well, yeah, I don't really like the way I am right now. Fine. The message of Christ is come as you are, but don't stay that way. He wants to make you a better you. He wants you to be all you can be. And you don't have to join the U.S. Army to do that. Join the army of God. And the Spirit will make you what God intended you to be. And it's allowing Him to control us. Now, we're going to go into these specifically in the next few weeks. But I just want to mention, since I've brought up the fruit of the Spirit, it's found in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Paul lists these characteristics. He calls it the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is what the Spirit-filled life looks like. And these are not all things that you can do on the outside. I can't walk up to somebody and say, hey, do gentleness. It's not a verb. It's a character quality. It's about who you are and who God is continuing to make you. One of the wonderful things about Irene's testimony today that I just loved so much, she said, it's been 80 years ago, but there are still changes. There is a woman who is still growing in Christ. And she is a model. And there are other folks in this congregation who have served Christ for years. They've walked with Christ for years, and they're still growing. And there is nothing that excites this preacher more than that. To see people who are still pushing forward and still growing, and they don't look back and say, well, you know, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm just going to coast the rest of the way. No, keep on growing. You keep on going. And that's this idea of being filled with the Spirit. It's continuous. It's over and over. It's a continuous thing. Now, you look at this passage in Ephesians 5. We won't go into detail, but there's three evidences right here of the Spirit-filled life. They're joyful, they're thankful, and they're submissive. Just use that as a measurement. What about your life? Are you joyful? Are you thankful? Are you humble? Those are the marks of the Spirit of God in your life. You say, well, I've got a ways to go. That's fine. We all do. But that ought to be the direction of your life. And that is the direction of your life when the Spirit of God is allowed to control you. When the Spirit comes in, to be filled with the Spirit is to be influenced and motivated and ultimately controlled by God's Spirit. He transforms us into His image. You want to know what Jesus Christ was like when He walked on earth? Read the fruit of the Spirit. That describes Jesus and His character. And that's precisely the character the Spirit wants to create in us. So why is this not the normal experience? Why is this not the normal experience for so many? Well, from salvation onward, the child of God has the privilege of living under the control of the Spirit. But the flip side also introduces another possibility. He can choose to walk in sin. He can choose to walk in the energy of his own flesh and break the fellowship with the Spirit. And when he does, he rejects God's power and his blessing. And he moves immediately out of the realm of fellowship and into the realm of divine discipline. And that's why some Christians are the most miserable people. Oh, they're saved, but they're not allowing the Spirit to move them and direct them and guide them and empower them. So they always live with this idea that, I should be better. I ought to be closer to God. I should be more like Christ, and I'm not. And they're miserable. The good news is you don't have to stay that way. We can be filled repeatedly, over and over, and we should be. Day by day, Lord, this is a new day. In your grace, forgive me for the sins I've committed. Start me anew. Let me live in the power of your Spirit. Simply put, if you're not living the Spirit-filled life, if you're not living under the influence and control of God, the Holy Spirit, you can be. In fact, you should be. It's not an option for a few, but it's a command for every believer. It's not something momentous or even miraculous that happens once. It's an everyday, normal experience in our lives. And as we yield ourselves to His control, He transforms our character into the character of Christ. And it's going to affect every part of our lives, at home, at work, at church, in the neighborhood, everywhere. We are going to become more like Christ. Maybe you say to yourself this morning, I have never heard anything like this before. I never knew the Spirit-filled life was for me. I will remind you that while being filled with the Spirit is something God does, it's something we must allow. We must give Him that control. To put it in the words of a country song, we need to say, Jesus, take the wheel. Give Him the control. Or as one bumper sticker puts it, I love this, if Jesus is your co-pilot, switch seats. Jesus needs to be your pilot. Maybe you've been a Christian for some time. Maybe you can remember those days when you lived under the power and the influence of the Spirit. But those days are long since gone by. Maybe sin and neglect has kept the Spirit from controlling you, from transforming you into the image of Christ. It's never too late to turn around. It's never too late to start doing what's right. This morning I want to end with a simple chorus. I hope it's one you know, otherwise I'll be singing it by myself. I'm not going to ask you to come. I'm not even going to ask you to stand. I want you to just stay right where you are. We're going to sing this chorus for you a few times, and maybe if you don't know it, you'll catch on to it. It's very simple. It says, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Let's make that our prayer this morning. Even if you listen to this message and you say, that's what I'm doing, don't stop. Continually be filled. Allow Him to control.